I feel this in my heart. I don't know why. It was just kind of a reality check in my own heart recently. But the book of Luke chapter 13, and if you're there, just give me a good amen. All right, we're going to begin reading in verse 6 to verse 9. And you've heard this parable many times, no doubt, but we're going to try to touch on it again tonight. And this is what it says, Luke 13 and 6. He spake also this parable. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came and sought fruit thereon, and found none. Then said he unto the dresser of his vineyard, Behold, these 3 years I come seeking fruit of this fig tree, and find none. Cut it down. Why cumbereth it the ground? And he answering said unto him, Lord, let it alone this year also, till I shall dig about it and dung it. And if it bear fruit, well, and if not, then after that thou shalt cut it down. Amen. Short parable, but has a lot of meaning to it. And there's a deeper application that I would teach if I was teaching tonight on Israel and the fig tree. And that's just a thread throughout Scripture. You can't deny it. It's just there. But also, we understand these parables also have an application to the body of Christ. I believe that. And tonight we're going to talk about living on borrowed time. Living on borrowed time. You ever heard that term before? Usually the idea of living on borrowed time is if somebody here was to have, maybe say for instance tonight, if I was to have a heart attack, Lord forbid, I don't want one of those, but just using myself as an example, I don't like using others sometimes. The eyes get real big, you know. And so if I was to have a heart attack tonight and if it was bad enough where I should have died and somehow I lived through it and I survived that, and they would say, look, that person there is living on borrowed time. He would say, look, he shouldn't be dead. He shouldn't even be alive today. He shouldn't even be here. But as time was afforded to him to live. And I believe today, my friend, just talking about this idea, I had a reality check here recently. And it usually happens in my life throughout the year. You know, multiple times throughout the year, I'll get down to pray. And I kind of get down and pray and get talking honestly with the Lord. And the Lord will begin to talk honest with me. You know, He'll still do that at times. You know, I believe God would like to talk honest with us more often, if we would allow Him, pray through and get to the place where He can talk to us. But you know, today, I just think, and even this afternoon, today is 9/21/2014. We are, if my calculations are correct, we are 264 days into the year of 2014. And the reality check that I often have as a minister is how much have I done for the Lord Jesus Christ this year? Now, just honestly answer that question. How many souls have I seen saved? How many people have I seen delivered from drugs? Or how many people have I seen delivered from bondages? And how much time do I waste maybe throughout the week or throughout the days, you know, even though you're working for the Lord, even though you're born again, even though you haven't experienced the Lord filled with the Holy Ghost, whatever measure you're at right now, you'd have to ask yourselves, how much have I done for the Lord up to this day, this year? And you know, if you're like me and you just get honest with yourselves at times, sometimes I hang my head and I say, Lord, I want to do so much more than what I'm doing. Lord, I would like to see so much more accomplished than what I have seen. Anybody there with me tonight? You would like to see more done for the Lord. You'd like to see more come into the kingdom. And you'd like to see more things happen. You understand? You know, it amazes me. I read the life of Jesus. He was on the earth 3.5 years, you know, somewhere around there. What He accomplished in just 3.5 years, my Lord, if we live a whole lifetime and don't even come a decimal to what He accomplished, you could say, well, He was the Son of God, but also could say He was sold out to the will of the Father as well. Amen. You look at the life of Paul, same thing. He did so much for the kingdom of God. But I would dare say today, as a pastor, as I stand before you in complete honesty tonight, I would say to you, I wish I had done more this year. I look back at time, which time escapes us, and we cannot get it back. You cannot take back tomorrow. You cannot take back last week. You cannot take back anything. Yes, this may be a year of transitions for all of us. I know that. Yes, life is busy. You know, we have appointments, we have jobs, we have obligations, we have different things we do. But my mind goes back to this thing in my own heart, my own mind, that as a pastor, I wish I would know. I've been here, I believe, around 7 months now, and I still ask the Holy Ghost, Lord, I want to do more for your kingdom. I feel the burden of the ministry because I look at the need, I look at the greatness of the urgency of the hour, and I realize there's so much that needs to be done, and I just want to produce fruit for the kingdom of God. I believe everybody here ought to say that in your heart tonight before we even get going in this message, that you would have to admit and just be honest with yourself. You would say, brother, as well, we can be honest with one another. I want to produce more fruit in this kingdom. I want to do more for the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't want to waste another year or another day. When we come to the story in the Bible, I find it very interesting. You know, I've looked at these scriptures throughout the years, even preached from them some back and forth, but I come to these verses of scripture, and it talks about this fig tree. It talks about this tree. It was a fig tree in this vineyard, and it said that one day, it says that the owner of the vineyard that planted this tree, he went up to it. He was going to get some fruit off of it, some refreshment. No doubt the fig tree was supposed to produce fruit, and there he went there, and he went there, and they said he found no fruit on this fig tree. And the owner there said this. He said unto the dresser of the vineyard, behold, these 3 years I come seeking the fruit of the fig tree and find none. Cut it down. Why cometh it to the ground? He's pretty much saying, why are you still wasting time on that old fig tree? It's not producing any fruit. I came last year, it didn't produce any fruit. I came the year before, it didn't produce any fruit. I came the year before that, there was no fruit there. Why are you wasting time on that fig tree? Why do you take time to water it? Why do you take time to dig about it? Why do you take time to trim it and manicure it? Why are you wasting your time? He says, why don't you just cut it down? Why don't you just get rid of it? Why don't you cut it down? And he answering said to him, Lord, let it alone this year also till I dig about it and dung it. He was saying, look, give it one more year. Give it one more chance and let us work on it a little bit more. Would it be alright tonight if we would look up to heaven and say, Lord, I appreciate everything you've done for me, but Lord, I'm thankful for another year. I'm thankful for another day. I'm thankful for another opportunity. Aren't you glad? Look, I'm looking for the Lord to come back. But my Lord, I want to reap a harvest. I want to see fruit come from the vineyard of God. We look at this, my friend, and we must understand first and foremost that this fig tree that was in this vineyard, we would understand first and foremost when the Lord came there, who was the owner of the vineyard, we would first see this point here. I'm going to preach to you tonight. The frustration with fruitlessness. The frustration with fruitlessness. The Lord of the vineyard came there, and when he came there, he said this word right here. He said, behold, this fig tree is not producing any fruit. Anytime you see that word behold in the Bible, it sometimes has different implications, but most times, and in these verses of scripture, it's a sense of surprise. He's saying, behold, it's almost saying, I'm surprised about this. He could not believe, again, this fig tree has not produced anything. It indicates that element of surprise. He could not believe it did not produce something here, because that fig tree is to produce something in that vineyard. Hear me today, friend. You in this building tonight, it doesn't matter who you are, it doesn't matter who your mom or dad is, or who your heritage, or who your children are, whoever. I'm just talking to everybody here tonight, tall, skinny, short, all of us here, everybody in this room tonight, if you are born again, you are supposed to produce fruit. You can come up with a million excuses on why you could or why you could not. Tonight, you are supposed to produce fruit for the kingdom of God. And if you have not, God's looking at you tonight and saying, behold, he's looking at you and he is surprised. He's looking at you tonight and wondering, why is there no fruit coming from your life if there is no fruit coming? Hear me today, friend. We must understand, as a Christian, you must produce fruit. Yeah, that'll shoot a lazy Christian right between the eyes. You mean we don't? You mean we're not on welfare in the Christian ranks? No, friend. Yeah, God's good to you. Yes, God will help you. God wants you to prosper as your soul prospers. Amen. But it's more than just coming to. It's more than just coming to Jesus and receiving. But you've got to come to Jesus and give at times. It's more than just coming to Jesus. You know, we all do it occasionally. Let's just be honest. We come to church and God, I need this, and God, can you do this for me? And God, can you do this? And we almost pray to God like He's Santa Claus at times. You know, I want this, Lord, and I need this, and I need this. And can you answer this? Can you touch this one? And that's all. fine and well. That doesn't bother the King of Heaven at all. But there's something wrong, friend, when we never come to the house of God and we do not contribute. We must contribute in worship and in praise. And yes, well, I know we even do it financially, but you also got to produce in the kingdom of God. There has to be fruitfulness in your life. There has to be something in your life that you're giving back to heaven, that you're producing something. God's giving you a testimony, and you are to go out there and use that testimony, use His goodness and use His benefits to reap a harvest in this world. There's a trend that's going around even the holiness ranks. I talked about it just last weekend with a fellow Christian brother, a preacher. He said, "My Lord," he said, "I go to these churches," and he said, "there's very little outreach." He said, they act like they're going to all come to the youth meetings. They're all going to come to the church services. And there is times God is going to send people. There is times God's going to bless us when people come through the doors unexpectedly. But we ought to go out to the highways and the byways. We ought to go out there to where they are at times. We ought to take the message to them. That's what the Great Commission really means to us. We would understand when we study in the Bible that a fig tree grows 25 foot high and at times 20 foot wide. And it's a very fruitful tree when you study this tree in the Bible. It is a tree that is very fruitful. It's not something, you know, sometimes in our mind, we're just going, we'll think of a fig tree as some little bush somewhere. Maybe with two little pieces of fruit on it, we'll say, well. No, but this tree was a big tree. This tree was something that was massive. This tree was something that I believe there was something that was noticeable. We don't know what size this tree was, but we do know that when the husbandman came up to it, he looked at it and thought for sure, with those pretty green leaves and that pretty structure there, no doubt there's going to be something in there. No doubt there's going to be fruit that's going to nourish me that I can give to others. Come on now, friends. We can walk into churches all over this world. We can look at buildings as we drive up and down the roads, and you can say that surely with that pretty building there, surely there's going to be some fruit. Surely there's going to be something that's going to nourish. Surely there's going to be something that this community can eat off of. But many times you'll go places and there is no fruit. That's dangerous. Now dealing with this tonight, we would understand that this fig tree, it wasn't just a fig tree that was growing in the wild, you know. Sometimes you may see a tree out in the wild sometimes, and just here recently, we have a bush out there in front of that little townhouse we're in, and we thought it was there on purpose, you know. We said, that's a pretty bush. We kept watering, you know, squirting water on it and all that stuff, and finally somebody knew what they were looking at and said, "I don't know what that is. That's three different kinds of bushes there." You know, it was all entwined, and I thought it was something that was put there on purpose, you know. You know, there's sometimes when things grow in the wild, you may not expect them to produce as much. You may not expect them to be well taken care of as much, but this fig tree was in a vineyard. A vineyard at that time, you would understand, was a walled-in place that had very fertile, well taken care of soil. The soil was often dug about. It was often dunged, as it would say. It was fertilized. It was made that just about anything planted in there could prosper. If you planted grapes in there, you're going to get grapes. If you planted almost anything in there, it was very, very good soil. And so no doubt it should have produced fruit because it was on some of the best soil at the time. It was in a vineyard. It was in a place that was made to grow. Let me tell you here tonight, you're in the house of God. This is very fertile soil. If you have not grown here today, you better not blame it on nobody else. You better not blame it on the preacher. You better not blame it on your neighbor. You're sitting in fertile soil tonight. You are within a walled city here. You're within a compound. This is the vineyard of God. It is getting very, you know, every time a message is preached, your seed is being sown. You're being fertilized. You're being watered. You're being at an increase that's supposed to come in your life. And sometimes, my friend, people can sit on a church pew and they never produce any fruit. And that's not nobody's fault but your own. Oh, think about it. When you walk in a pretty old vineyard, you know, you wouldn't expect to walk in there and see a bunch of dead trees. But a vineyard is a beautiful place, you know. You ever been into, I think it was in Norfolk, I went one time to some sort of garden over there. And, you know, I went there at Christmas times. They had Christmas lights. But even for Christmas time, it was still so manicured and still somehow they kept everything. I thought to myself, man, they really make things work around here. It's just beautiful. All the flowers. And that's what a vineyard was like. Hear me today, friend. When we come in the service, you're not to be a dry weed sitting on a pew. Not saying you are, but I'm saying in general, we're not to be dry. We're not supposed to be unwatered. We're not supposed to be unfruitful. But you're sitting in the very presence of a thrice holy God. And here you're sitting in fertile territory where God would desire there to be an increase in your life. We would understand in Isaiah chapter 5 and 2, this is reference to Israel, but we can get the idea of what a vineyard is. A vineyard is, it says this, and he fenced it and gathered out the stones thereof and planted it with the choicest vine and built a tower in the midst of it and almost and also made a wine press therein. And he looked that it should bring forth grapes, and it brought forth wild grapes. He was showing us there that vineyards were well taken care of. Vineyards was a place that you could go to and you could guarantee to reap a harvest. Let me just talk to you. We can't expect God to reap a harvest outside these walls if God first can't reap a harvest in our own lives. You can't expect the prostitute to be delivered if we ourselves are struggling with small things. We can't expect them to pray through when those in the house of God can't pray through. We can't expect them to be faithful unless we ourselves are faithful. We can't expect them to get delivered unless we're delivered. We can't expect them to get sanctified if we're not sanctified. And we can't expect them to get the Holy Ghost if we don't have the Holy Ghost. Is that all right? If you can't do it in this good soil, we need to quit trying to put calisthenics on everything that walks through the door that don't know nothing about the things of God. We need first, hear me today, friend, because this is a problem and an indictment against the Holiness Church. I've seen them act where they so-and-so needs to do this and so-and-so needs to do that. Their family is in shambles. My Lord, my friend, today we are in a walled city right here. This is fertile territory, and we need to learn to produce fruit right here. As New Testament believers, we have no excuse but to produce fruit, and there is no excuse not to produce fruit. Anybody with any position. I'll start right here because I've got to be honest with myself. I'm the pastor of this church. I've got to produce fruit. And look, I know you can't lead a mule to the water and make him drink. I'm not silly. But there's got to be fruit in my ministry. If I preach here for 5 years and never see a soul saved, I might want to pack my bags and find something else to do. I might want to go get a secular job. You say, Brother Derek, do you mean that? Yes, I do. That's how adamant I am about seeing the will of God done in our churches. You know, go years. I just don't know something. You know, go 20 years and never see this or see this happening. My God of heaven, help me as a preacher to understand I've got to produce fruit even in this church. If there's no fruit produced when I preach, never. Never no conviction that falls. Never to move in the Holy Ghost in our worship services. I can't just blame it all. You know, it can't be other people's fault at times. But I've got to get on my face, cry out to God and say, God, help me be fruitful. Help me be fruitful in that pulpit, God. Give me a word from heaven. That goes from the pastor even to a Sunday school teacher. Amen? If we're talking to young people and never see no increase, we need to reanalyze. We need to pray. If we don't see somebody saved or convicted or something take place, some sort of change, then we need to ask God, Lord, why is there no fruit being produced? What is it in my own? Search me from a youth leader to outreach to sing it to anything. There must be fruit that is produced. Hear me today, because the Master is looking for fruit. The Bible tells us here that the Lord of the vineyard, He came seeking fruit. He came looking for it because it was supposed to be there. I just picture him. You know, you see him walking through the vineyard. And he sees that fig tree over there. And he thinks to himself, you know what, that's a pretty good looking tree. But last year I went there and I didn't see anything. Last year I went there and there was no fruit. Can you see as he walks up to it and begins to analyze that tree there and realizes it's not producing here? And you know what he said? He said this here. He said, it is a waste. He said, we need to cut it down. Basically, what the Lord of the vineyard was saying was something like this. All of the time I invested in it, I gave you a special place here in this vineyard. I gave you fertilizer. I gave you a vine dresser. I gave you water. I dug about you. I made opportunity for you to grow, and you will not grow. He said, we need to cut it down. Oh my. Come on now. You know what the Bible says about the branch that does not produce fruit? It's taken out of the vine. He's plucked out of it. You know God, and you know what God's going to do before He sends a lasting revival in these last days? He's going to purge the vine once again. He's going to purge the church once again. He's going to begin talking to that heart. There's things that we add to the things of God. There's prejudices of mind. God's going to begin to move them out the way so things can grow. We find in Matthew 3 and 10, He says this, and we know that He's talking to the Pharisees and those that with unrepentant hearts. But it says this, and now also the axe is laid unto the root of the trees. Therefore every tree which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. My Lord of heaven, I don't know about you. I want to have enough humbleness. I want to have enough integrity. I can look up to heaven and say, Lord, yes, I appreciate everything you do for me. Yes, God, I thank you for holiness. Yes, God, I thank you for all the gifts and everything you do for us. But Lord, I want to produce more fruit. Please give me another year. Give me another opportunity and give me another chance. Hampton, Virginia needs a fruit-producing church. I would say it again. Hampton, Virginia needs a fruit-producing church. We are endangered, my friend, when we have religion without fruit. We learn of something about the heart of God throughout Scripture when we begin to study the subject here. And without going too deep into the context of what all this means, because I don't want to lose the surface of what we're preaching about, but the religion without fruit is a problem even in the Bible. We learn about this fig tree. In the Old Testament, we would understand that that fig tree represented the people of Israel. In the Old Testament, Israel is often compared to a fig tree or a vine, and the judgment of Israel is compared to its destruction. We also find in the book of Matthew chapter 21, we have a very similar story many of you will remember. It said this in Matthew 21 and verse 18, now in the morning as we returned into his city, he hungered, and when he saw a fig tree in the way, he came to it and found nothing thereon but leaves only, and said unto it, let no fruit grow nor grow on thee henceforth forever. And presently the tree withered away, and when his disciples saw it, they marveled, saying, how soon is the fig tree withered away? Can you picture the Son of God with sweat on his brow walking through the heat of the day as he comes up to this fig tree and he's looking there to be refreshed? It said that he hungered. He was looking to be fed from this fig tree. He was looking for there to consume something that would please him and make him happy. Can you see as he goes up to this fig tree that has beautiful green leaves, and he walks up to it and goes and begins to move the leaves around, and there's no fruit on it? Now, there's a context of this. Jesus had found that the religion in Israel had produced no fruit, very little fruit. Jesus had found the religion of Israel to be barren. And that's what this fig tree represents in the Bible. Israel was to be a light unto the nations. It was supposed to be a people that other nations could pattern themselves after. They could look at Israel and say, that's the God of heaven. That's the Yahweh of Scripture. And then they should be able to pattern themselves after them. But here Jesus comes unto Israel and he finds no fruit for 3.5 years. Very similar to the story I read to you in Luke. For 3 years, he said, I have found no fruit. But he said, give him this year also. The cursing of the fig tree was a powerful symbolic action. It was also a warning to us of how God views any religion that does not produce genuine spiritual fruit. Don't be deceived to think that God looked at Israel and they didn't produce fruit, so He had to judge them. Don't be deceived to think that God doesn't look at the church, and if the church doesn't produce any fruit, He's just going to give them out a get-out-of-jail-free card, you know? You know, that's all right. If anything, you're more accountable. If anything, they didn't have the Messiah. They had Him, but rejected Him. Us here, we're Gentiles, been grafted into this, and many of us have been born again, washed in the blood of Jesus. But not only that, they didn't know much about the Holy Ghost. They didn't have the Scripture. They didn't have the completeness of God's Word. We do today. So if anything, we're more accountable. And if God would judge a religion that was fruitless then, if God dealt that way with Israel, the church will also be accountable. So we have religion without fruit, but also we have profession without practice. Oh my. Profession without practice. We read in the Bible the problem here is that the fig leaves on this tree, it leaves and advertises that it has fruit, but the fig tree has no fruit of all. It says when you begin to study a fig tree, when it has lush green leaves, it was about that time of a second fruit would come in, and that the fruit that was edible. So hear me today, this tree advertised like there was fruit there, but when he got there, there was no fruit. You know, if our church sign points to our church and says there's fruit there, and there's no fruit, that's profession without practice. And I'm not saying this, I'm just saying in general. It's called false advertisement. That could be any church, anywhere. We have to make sure, my friend, that there is more than just a profession, but we've got to have practice. This is the case of this, of what a problem it is. It has to be a big problem. It was a problem even in biblical history. We find in the book of Ezekiel, chapter 33 and verse 30, and let me just read it to you. It says, everyone to his brother saying, I come, I pray you, and hear what is the word that cometh forth from the Lord. The very next verse says this, and they came unto thee as the people cometh, and they sit before thee as my people, and they hear thy words, but they will not do them. For the mouth they shew much love, but the heart goeth after their covetousness. They're saying they talk about fruit. They talk about God. They talk about healing. They talk about the Holy Ghost. They talk about being born again. They talk about this. But all it is profession, and it's not a practice. My God of heaven, hear me tonight. It's got to be more than profession. I've got to do more than a preacher to get up here and read you some verses of Scripture. We've got to see something produced as the body of Christ. It's got to be a practice here. It's got to be something all of us understand that Jesus is wanting to do something, even in our very midst. Do you ever get sick of just hearing about things? I mean, I'm just be honest. I'm just asking you to be honest with me. Don't wake up here. How many heads I got? But do you ever get sick of saying, well, I remember 45 years ago, God moved in a mighty way, 15 baptized in the Holy Ghost, 25 saved. And we're like, really? That's profession. What about practice? What about now? It's just like, I don't know if I've used the example before. If I'm sitting in the woods and I have a fire, you know, say it's 20 degrees. That's pretty cold. You know, 20 degrees, I'm sitting in the woods and I'm sitting there and I've got a fire. And then the fire goes out. And then you come by and you're cold and I point at the ashes and I say, I used to have a fire right there. It was very warm. Won't you sit down, you know, let me tell you all about it. You know, it was so warm and you know, you could hear the crackling of the wood and the person would look at you and say, where at? And you would say, right there at the ashes. It wouldn't do him no good right now, would it? We've got to do more than just profess yesterday's miracles. We've got to do more than just profess yesterday of people being born again and coming in. We've got to produce it right now. It's got to be our profession tonight, today, forever, for the rest of the time we are here. We've got to do more than just be more than just hearers of the word, but we've got to be doers also. Notice this, the withering of the fig tree. The lessons we can learn is this. First, the religion of Israel was not producing any fruit, so Jesus judged them. The second thing is this, any religion like it will also wither up at last, becoming as a dry tree that is no longer nourished by its roots. When a tree dries up, what really happens is this, the roots die. You know what's happening in the church world? Shallow roots. Oh yes. You know, shallow roots, you can use to figure out who's got deep roots when a hurricane comes. You look in a hurricane or rip something up, you can see they were surface roots is what we call them. And you can see a big old tree laying there and it just wasn't real deep at all. But you can tell when a tree has very deep roots. It'll break off halfway. It'll break off somewhere at the top or something. But there'll still be roots sitting down in the ground. I tell you one thing, my friend. You know what the storms of this life will show us? You know what the coming persecution may show us? You know what this age is going to show us? Who has their roots grounded in the Lord Jesus Christ? I believe it's going to show the shallowness of some religion. I believe it to show whose son that are about to wither up and die. Hear me today, friend. The third application is this. This also happened to every other religion, every church that just has an outward demonstration, but it does not have its roots deep down in the truth of God's Word. A church that may just have green leaves on the outside, but produces no fruit on the inside, no life on the inside, that'll produce fruit
something is wrong. If we fail to possess the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control, something's wrong.
I've been to some church, they talk about the gifts of the Spirit, but they ain't got no fruit. And then I go to some churches, they got all fruit and no gifts. It's a problem. We need to understand the gifts and the fruit are available. The gifts and the fruit are for you and I. And this is something all of us must seek for. One great preacher said this one time, and this is just a quote from him. He said, "It's not every fruitless branch of Christ's visible church in an awful danger of becoming a withered fig tree." He says this. He said, "The profession without holiness among the people, overweening confidence in councils, bishops, or different groups and boards or societies, without repentance and faith, it's the things that have been neglected, has been the ruin of the body of Christ. Where are the once famous churches of Ephesus and Sardis? Today those churches are nothing. They are gone, they are rubble, and there is no fruit there." You read about the churches in the book of Revelations. Just type the names in on Google and look at the rubbles of what used to be a church. You type in the different movements that are dying and withering away today. Let me tell you what happened. There was no roots down into the things of God. But this is the good news tonight. I don't want to just leave you hanging there with just all negative news. But this is the good news tonight. We still have time. We still have opportunity. We still have time here tonight. Hear me, my friend. The good news is this. Yes, there may be times in our life when we are fruitless. Yes, there may be times in our life when the vine, when the Lord of the vineyard will come to us and begin to convict us and deal with our hearts to do more for Him. But the good news is this. We still have time tonight. It's not all over. The trumpet has not sounded yet. There's still breath in your body. We still have an opportunity in these last days to see a move of God. I don't know about you, but I want to take the time that is afforded to me and still try to do something that is lasting for the kingdom of God. You're living on borrowed time tonight. Just like that tree should be dead in the Bible, you should be dead tonight. Oh yes. When you got born again, you know what was afforded to you? Time and privilege and opportunity to do a work for the Lord Jesus Christ. You know what was afforded to you? He gave you time. He let you borrow the time to do something for His kingdom here. Understand this, the interceding of the vine dresser here. He said this, the Lord of the vineyard looked at this tree and he said, "Cut it down. Get rid of it. I don't want it here anymore. It's not producing any more fruit." But then the vine dresser, which is a type of Jesus Christ, he came up to this tree. And he said, "Lord, give me one more year to dig about it, to dung it. Give me this year also." He said, "This, I've been faithful last year and they didn't produce. I was faithful the year before then and they didn't produce. But give me one more year to be faithful. Give me one more year to deal with that heart. Give me one more year to deal with that person. And then let's see if it produces fruit." You know, the vine dresser, it said there was 3 years it didn't produce any fruit. You know, the vine dresser was faithful to that tree on year one. He didn't do that tree any wrong. That vine dresser was good to that tree on year two. That vine dresser was good to that tree on year three. But you know what the Lord was saying here to us? He was saying, "Look, take one more year. I'm going to be faithful to you. I'm going to give you opportunity. I'm going to give you privilege." Oh, I feel the Lord here tonight. Help me. I want to tell you, the privilege may end up being on your job. The privilege may be in your family. The door of affection may be open to you somewhere in this world. But let them understand that the vine dresser is faithful. He wants you to produce fruit. Go and do something for the Lord this year. I don't want to get to the judgment seat of Christ. And the Lord said, "You know what, son? Welcome. You've been faithful. Well, come on in." But I don't want to get up there and know I squandered portions of my life. Seasons of my life. I got so selfish that I lived for Derek Jones. Woo! What a blast. Look, and I'm not, please don't feel that I'm being overcritical or hard. I often fight that sometimes. I feel like maybe they think I hate them. I don't. But I can only preach to you what the Holy Ghost touches on this heart. I put myself right in the boat with you. I hope you've noticed that tonight. I want to do more for the Lord even in 2014. I want to do more for the Lord as well. He's given us opportunity. Notice the interceding of the vine dresser. He said, "Give me one more
to do something about it. He said, let me dig about it. Hey, you would have to understand what a vine dresser would do. When he digged about something, he would loosen the soil so the water could get in. He would take his utensils and he would begin to dig around that tree. He would begin to turn up the soil that the water could get deep down into the roots. You know what, friend? You know what God would love to do for us even tonight? He would like to dig down into our hearts. He would like to dig down and reach down and stir up this fallow ground. He would like to make that heart pliable. He would like to move the thorns and the thistles. He would like to move the rocks and the stones. He wants that heart to become good soil that he can plant something there that will produce fruit. Some can't take the digging of the Lord. You know, come on now. We'll get down to pray at times and, Lord, I want to do a work for you. I want to do what you've called me to do, Lord. And then the Holy Ghost will say, you do. He'll start digging down inside that heart of yours. He'll start showing you things. He'll start revealing things to you about your own character and about things He desires to do. He'll start digging down in there. And sometimes that's very uncomfortable. Sometimes it'll lead you into a good fast. Sometimes it'll lead you into a season of prayer and fasting. And then you know, we'll get up and say, well, Lord, you know, fasting is for those people who really, you know, fasting ain't a big deal anyhow. You know, that's so, you know, they don't do that really a lot anymore. That was for the Charles Finneys and all those other men. No, sometimes God wants to dig. Oh my, there's been times I've got down and prayed and God began to dig and I thought of something else to do. Come on. Lord will deal with that heart. Why don't you get up and pray? Why don't you get out of that bed and talk to me, son? Oh, it's easy to roll back over and say, Lord, now lay me down to sleep. I love you, Jesus. There's times God's wanting to dig, and I just feel this in my heart when studying for this. Even in this church, God's wanting to dig in some of our hearts. God's wanting to prepare you. Before God can use you, there's got to be a preparation. Before God can use you, you cannot be the same thing you were when you came to it. You have to say, look, if we'd be honest enough and look at God and say, Lord, I'm not producing fruit like I know I should, we would have to admit something's wrong. If the vine dresser is always faithful, you know, Jesus is always faithful. So if He's doing His job, it's something already in, amen? So not only did He say this, He said, let me dig about it, but also let me dunk it. We know let's use manure to fertilize it there, but it provides what it needs. It's the nutrients there. It's something, He said, give me one more year to do this. Give me one more opportunity. And third and final point is this, His patience has a purpose. God's patience has a purpose. God doesn't just deal with that heart and begin to dig about it just without a purpose. He does it for a reason. He's doing something in your heart. He's trying to prepare you for something. He says this in John 15:1, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch that is in me that beareth not fruit, He taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, He purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. You hear that? He said, I want you to catch that because this is important. Every branch of me that beareth not fruit, He taketh away. But every branch that beareth fruit, those that are producing fruit, He purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. You could be here tonight and say, Brother Derek, I feel like I am producing fruit. And that's good. But it's not what God's all... God's wanting more. So God goes to that branch, it's producing fruit. God goes to that branch, you know what He does? He begins to cut on it. He begins to trim it. He begins to prepare that thing, prepare that branch there, that yes, it's bringing forth fruit, it is good fruit, but He purges it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Oh my. You know, there's been many times as a preacher, I thought a little bit of fruit was enough. But then I'd go through the trial, I'd go through a testing. I go through a purging of my life. I feel God deal with me on things and just draw me deeper into His presence and deeper into the things of God. And come to find, I get on the other side of it. Come to find out He just wanted to produce more fruit in my life. Hear me today, friend. There's two classifications of people here. He said there's going to be some of you that do not bear fruit and God wants to help you bear fruit. But it's going to be those that are bearing fruit. He wants to purge you that you'll bear more fruit. As my wife goes to the piano tonight. He says next, abide in me and I in you, as the branch that cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except you abide in me.
I don't want to bust no ego, and I know the ego's not here, but I'm just saying in the ministry world. Don't think that you are your own vine. Don't act like you're just pulling up stuff from the ground yourself and producing them. No. I'm learning and ever more learning and still learning that the vine is Jesus Christ. And it's the mercy of God that I'm grafted into this vine. If there's any fruit produced at all, it's because the vine, Jesus Christ, has deep roots. And God's mercy has grafted me into this. And it's by His mercy anything is done. You know what, friend? Even here at Abundant Life Tabernacle, if we see mighty things done from the Lord, it's not going to be because of a personality. It's not going to be because of ability. It's not going to be because you or me. It's going to be because Jesus Christ is the true vine. And if we attach ourselves to Him, nothing could go wrong. He'll produce the fruit. He'll get the glory. And we'll just be used as vessels for Him. Why don't you yoke yourself up with the vine even tighter than you've ever been? Why don't we look over at the Master, who is the vine, and say, Lord, I'm over here. I'm just a branch. You've allowed me to be here in this vineyard. I'm over here. Lord, I'd love to see some fruit produced and You'll get the glory. Wouldn't that be all right once again as you stand to your feet? I trust the Holy Ghost has taken this word and placed it somewhere in your heart tonight. I feel the presence of God. That doesn't rely on anybody in this room. I just know what I feel in my heart. But Abundant Life Tabernacle and individuals and members of this church, God wants you to produce fruit. And if you don't produce fruit, you can't blame it on the branch beside you. Hear me today. You know, it's easy to do that. I'd get in more if this, or I'd do more of this if this. No, that's not right. Be yoked with Christ. And if we're yoked with Christ, fruit will be produced. And there'll come times in your life where God's going to purge you. But He's purging you not because He's mad. He's purging you because He wants to produce more fruit in your life. But you've got to be willing, first and foremost, if you're here tonight, and you'll say, look, Lord, I haven't produced much fruit this year. And the Lord's looking at you and says, I'll give you another year. I'm going to dig about your heart. I'm going to prepare your heart. I'm going to water you. I'm going to fertilize. Produce fruit. And then the second person here tonight, or second altar call, I guess we're going to do it collectively, will be those, look, you know you're doing something for the Lord. And it's not that you're a bad person or anything against your stigma. But you're saying, Lord, I'm producing fruit. You're helping me. I've seen things happen. I've seen some things happen, Lord. But the fruit that I've produced, God, I'm willing for You to purge me. Do whatever You got to do. Convict me of whatever You got to convict me of. I want to produce more fruit. You get that fruit, then more fruit. And that should be the continuation throughout your life. You're never going to get to the place that you're the single cluster in the vineyard and everybody's coming by and say, you're the best looking fig tree I've ever seen. No. They're going to come by and they're going to look at Jesus and say, He's producing. Abundant Life Tabernacle is producing. I feel the Holy Ghost here. Oh, God, help us. God, don't let our sign just be a false advertisement. Let this be a place of abundant life. Well, people can come in and they're looking in the vineyard. They come in here, they're thirsty, they're weary. They're looking for the fruits of Christ. Let them be able to look in our lives and receive. Is that all right tonight? Do you feel the same thing I'm feeling in our hearts? Is it all right tonight if God wants to dig in our hearts? Would you say, yes, Lord, dig? Would it be all right tonight to say, Lord, if there's a purging that needs to take place that You know about, Lord, begin to purge away at my heart. Let everything that's dead. You know what a purging is? A purging is a plucking off of that which is dead. Oh my. How many idle dead things are attached to our hearts at times. And sometimes Jesus has just got to reach in there and He'll just take it out if you'll let Him. He'll reach in. He'll begin to groom that heart. And then all of a sudden you'll see things begin to come forth. And you say, Lord, it's because of You. It's because of You. I feel God here tonight, my friends. Old saying is this, soon this life will pass. And only what is done for Christ will last. This year also, You're living on borrowed time. He could come back in 2015. Let's produce fruit. Amen. Find you a place to pray. Empty them pews. Don't hesitate. Come find you a place to pray tonight. Make you an altar up here. Look around. This is the vineyard, church. This is where the water comes from. You're in the vineyard tonight. There's no excuses. So leave your excuses at the pew. Come to the altar and say, Lord, dig about this heart. Water my heart, dear Jesus. Oh, my.